Thank you. As we were worshipping, I'm going to show this. This must be for somebody, I think, here. What kept coming into my mind was this. So if it's for you, God bless you. The word was this. The Lord is with you even when you're not being religious. The Lord is with you even when you're not being religious. And I think perhaps to me it might be saying, well, it's easy to trust him when we're all together, but he's just the same when you're at home. Right, I'll now get to what I prepared. So, Palm Sunday, the crowd cheered Jesus as he entered Jerusalem. The point is the Mount of Olives, the main road was just to the north of the Mount of Olives, and it travelled westward, and then it came down the slope into the Kidron Valley. And what we're seeing here, what Luke describes, it says, as the slope went down, and you could see the temple would then come into view. They'd see the city that, as it was in those days, not modern Jerusalem. But as they came down, they saw the temple and they erupted in praise. And the other thing was that John tells us that many of the pilgrims came out of Jerusalem to welcome Jesus. So not only were people traveling down with him, they came out of the city to greet him and welcome him into the city. They were saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." John reminds us they were enacting what was prophesied in the Old Testament. Jesus was fulfilling this. It's in Zechariah 9:9. Look, your King is coming to you on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of an ass. Seems perhaps more recent, but you know, it will soon be 2 years since this nation celebrated a new king. Yeah. In May, 2 years ago, 2023, we saw the coronation of Charles III. And what's some of the people we know carried placards and also shouted, "Not my king," for various reasons. But they didn't like the idea of monarchy. They didn't like the idea of someone being king. I'm not sure if there's much difference between an autocratic king and an autocratic president, but I'll stop there. But what kind of king is Jesus? It's one thing to welcome him as king, but what does that mean in practice? As we've already alluded to, at the start of this Holy Week, it was the main feast, Passover, marked the founding of the nation of Israel as slaves in Egypt. It was through the Passover that God separated them out from slavery to freedom. And this rabble of slaves under Moses became a nation. An amazing thing. And so this most important national holiday, they celebrated God's goodness to them as a nation of being marked out as God's people. So that's why the place was full of pilgrims. Also interesting to note that many of them who couldn't find lodging within the city would camp out on the Mount of Olives. But this entrance of Jesus, it's quite clear, was planned. It was very public. It was celebrated. And as we've already heard, he didn't come as a conqueror with an army on a war horse. He came in a joyful procession, but as a peacetime king on an ass, on a donkey. He made an unmistakable claim to be the king of Israel. They could not miss it. Now, this is in contrast to what some have called the messianic secret. Because as we read the Gospels, it seems very frustrating in a way that everything was on the point of Jesus being proclaimed as Messiah, and then he would withdraw. It seemed as if he was very reluctant, so he kept saying, "My time has not yet come." He avoided this explicit sign of being Messiah until the time was right. We see, after the feeding of the 5,000, the people got so excited, he must be the king who was coming into the world. And John tells us that some of them set out to make Jesus king by force. They thought, this is the opportunity. And we're told that Jesus just withdrew into the hills until the people dispersed. The time was not there. Even at the Feast of Tabernacles in the autumn before this, his brother said, "Well, you want to be a public person. If you want to be noticed, go and show yourself to the people." And Jesus simply said, "No, you go. You go. It's not my time." So he went up very quietly to Jerusalem. Why was this? Seemed Jesus was relying on his person, the miracles, and his words to reveal his identity, not by his proclamation, but for people who got close to him to realize who he was. He was interested not in being a political leader, not to be a military leader. He was looking to build God's kingdom. So in his work and his ministry, in his miracles, he fulfilled the prophecies about the Messiah. For those who got close to him, they believed in him. For those outside, as Jesus said, everything was in parables. They could half see, but not understand, because they didn't then turn to follow him. It was an opt-in, not an imposition of power. But after these 3 years of teaching, of miracles, of ministry, now it was time. Jesus had built a community of faith built on repentance and trust in him. And he'd been investing in his disciples, in the 12 and the 72, gradually teaching them, preparing them to become the leaders of the church after he had left this earth. So he'd established a new order, and it was now time to go public. So we come back to what kind of king did the people expect? And again, we see in the Gospels all sorts of different responses. We see the committed disciples. We see skeptical leaders looking from a distance. We see quite a lot of confused followers trying to make sense of who is he. Some wanted to spark revolution. Others were just desperate for acceptance, for forgiveness and healing. A lot were just curious, just spectators wanting to follow the crowd. So Jesus comes into Jerusalem. Now, public declaration, his claim to be king. And so, of course, he has to be challenged. The leaders of the day, the theologians, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all challenged him in the temple courts, and he answered them with scripture. And all the while in the background, the leaders were scared. And again, John says, they were saying to one another, the whole world's gone after him. After this big entrance, they could see the popular power that Jesus could wield if he wished. So they were plotting his downfall. They were plotting his death. It's important to understand that Jesus knew this and he accepted it. He knew that he had to die. See, a lot of people outside church would say, well, he was just a good man that had a bad end, as if it was an unfortunate accident. It was not. Jesus knew even from the time of transfiguration, we're told he set his face to Jerusalem. Absolute iron determination, I'm going to see this through. I'm going to see it through to the cross. I'm going to see it through to resurrection. Jesus knew this. In John 12, he says to the crowds, he knows that the seed must die. If a seed does not go into the ground and die, it just remains a single seed. If it goes into the ground and dies, then it becomes fruitful and many seeds. He takes on the title of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And it's very clear from the Gospels, all of these things apply to Jesus. So then we look at the responses of the people. They mirror people's attitudes today in the world around us. We see the Pharisees who were so trapped by their traditions and their rules that they were blind to the obvious. Jesus didn't fit their idea of Messiah, so they rejected him. They were blinded. They just didn't see. They weren't ready for what God was doing. And we see the Sadducees, who were the sort of secularist politicians of the day. They denied the spiritual realm. They denied angels and the resurrection. But they carried the trappings of religion. They liked the ceremonies. They liked all of those things. But the spiritual realities, they simply cut out. We see the party of Herod, the high priest's family in league with Rome. They held the political power just about, but they were fearful of rivals. We see the disciples determined to follow Jesus, loud statements of trust, but who ran away. Their faith failed in the face of the real danger. And sadly, we see Judas, who was one of the closest, who lost faith in Jesus somehow and turned against him. And finally, we see the crowds being swayed by the loudest voices, fickle, at one time cheering and welcoming him, wanting to see the spectacle, but then equally turned to see something else, to see him crucified, to see robbers and thieves set free. We get some insight into the discussions in John's Gospel, particularly chapter 7. We hear like snippets of conversation. I just love this in John's Gospel because you can hear the people talking in a way. It was the autumn. Jesus was delayed in going, and so they were saying, "Is he coming? Is he coming? We're looking for him." And they were whispering and discussing. And some said, "Well, Christ doesn't come from Galilee. He can't be the Christ." See, they knew their scriptures. The scriptures say that he comes from David's town, from Bethlehem. Of course, they didn't know what we know. So they were talking about it, thinking about it. Somebody else said, "He's a good man." Someone else said, "No, he deceives the people." Others said, "He can't be the Messiah. We know his family. They're the people from Nazareth. He's the son of Joseph, the carpenter. We've got his brothers and sisters here. So the Messiah can't be somebody that we know." And somebody else was saying, "Why listen to him? He's deranged. He's demonized. It's just bonkers." And the answer to that was, "Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" You see, that kind of debate, that kind of discussion, and we might hear something similar going on around us when the subject of Jesus and the church come around. So Jesus still divides opinion today. What does the world see outside? Most of it is second-hand. It's often inaccurate, it's confused, and it is prejudiced. How can anybody really know? unless they see the truth, unless they meet someone who says, this is the truth of Jesus. And that's our job, to present as best we can God's truth and to trust that the Holy Spirit will reveal that truth to somebody with an open and honest heart. And even inside the church, dare I say, there's a wide range of belief, isn't there? We know everyone's not on the same page. That's why the church has controversies. We know that. Everyone isn't on the same page. People come to church for all kinds of reasons, and we welcome them. Everyone is welcome. We're not here to judge, but we are here to promote faith. Some, like the crowds, follow Jesus. Some will get closer and closer and closer. And others will see something that they don't like and they will pull away. It's always been like that. Some will always stay on the sidelines, not quite sure what to do. Some will be disillusioned, as the disciples were. They find that this faith thing doesn't measure up to what they want. Jesus wasn't the person they thought. They didn't like the idea of commitment. They didn't like the idea of hardship, of making choices, so they withdrew. Some, we see, were offended by Jesus' teaching. So I'm not accepting that. I'll have this bit and that bit and that, but I'm not having that. I won't accept that. And so they pull away, they get offended. They don't accept Jesus' authority as the living word of God to speak the truth of God. Because many of us carry prejudices. And I think, to be honest, most of us, however faithful we might think we are, as we've made our Christian journey, we've come across things in the Bible and thought, I don't really like that. But by God's grace, we come to see the wisdom of what is there. And by God's grace, we learn to accept and believe the truth. Some people are offended by the faults in church, and there are plenty. Plenty. So if we wanted to look for a perfect church, you'll never find it. But don't get offended because one or two Christians make mistakes. Negate the truth about Jesus just because some Christians are bad. So faith is a journey. Like the crowds, we may be attracted to Jesus. If we stick with him, we will learn and experience more of him. Eventually, we will come to a point of realization. So this is who Jesus is. And then we're challenged to make a commitment. After that, we discover the tough stuff. That's just the way it is. If we're going to follow him, we have to accept this tough stuff as well. Obedience, business about perhaps not being popular, perhaps certain friends and people withdrawing. It happens. So that challenges us to be faithful. Also, we make mistakes. We all fall over from time to time. And then we have to get up again. And we learn to carry on, learn from our mistakes, and grow in faith. So this commitment and this faith is a lifetime's journey. What kind of king is Jesus to you? He is Lord of all. That's the eternal truth. The question is whether that is who he is to you and me. Do we welcome him? Do we welcome him into our lives? Do we allow him to reign in our lives? So this week particularly, as we think of who Jesus is and what he has done, it's the opportunity perhaps to double down and to take stock and to recommit to him, because he is always ready to continue with us. He never gives up. Lord, have your way in our lives, we pray. Be our King. Lord, reign in us. Amen.